You are tuned to the morning, Thursday morning COVID-19 brief. On the line from South Peninsula Hospital, Dorotha Ferraro. Are you there, Dorotha?
I am here. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Jenny Carroll from the city of Homer. Do I have you?
You have me, Kathleen. Good morning.
Excellent. Good morning. And public health nurse Lauren Carroll, are you there?
Good morning, team. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for being here. And Chief Kirko, are you on the line?
I am. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. I'm very interested in starting with you today, and then we could talk for a little while, and then we can let you off the line so you can go do whatever, the many things that you have to do.
Perfect.
So last week, out east, someone flicked a cigarette and started a grass fire, 30 foot by 30 foot. Firefighters had to come and get it. I think this is a really good time to remind people about burn permits and about the danger of flicking your cigarettes right now.
Yes, it is. It's absolutely the right time because things are, the snow, as you said earlier, is going away really quick, and there's a lot of dry grass that's visible, at least down at the low-lying areas right now for sure. And last week when that happened, we were if you remember, we were in kind of a spell where we had nice, clear, dry days, and a day or two before that incident happened, we had that was like the Sunday and Saturday and even part of Monday, that we had that significant windy condition. So everything just kind of, between the wind and the dry weather, it was perfect storm for igniting lighter fuels, grass and leaves and things of that nature. So a cigarette that actually started that fire. So if you, when you think about that, sometimes you think about that it's kind of hard to start a fire with a cigarette butt, but when the conditions are just right, it'll definitely happen, and it travels very, very, very quickly in a short amount of time.
And it is the right time to remind people that wildfire season starts May 1st. Is that right?
That's correct. So, and we're going to see wildfire season starts whenever it decides to start, basically.
Right.
And that day it started for us. We're starting to see, and when you get into the spring conditions and there's some dry out and exposed fuels, then obviously we have that, you know, point of startup. The thing to remember is until everything gets green, we need to be a little bit safer about how we do things, you know, involving fire or sparks or anything like that. And then starting May 1st, there's going to be a statewide restriction for this. There will be no permits issued from the state standpoint and the city standpoint after May 1st. You will still have the ability to have cooking fires and warming fires.
Okay.
Because it will not be a burn ban. It's just going to be a suspension of the burn permit.
Okay, and with that starting up, I mean, it's just something that none of us need right now. There's so much going on. Is there anything else on your list to deliver to people? You know, I feel like I have this false impression that what EMT and fire services are doing is mostly preparedness and that your workload hasn't increased, but that's a false impression, isn't it?
Yeah, the workload for us on a day-to-day basis is staying the same, and it just depends on the type of season because there's so much stuff that happens behind the scenes in the fire and EMS world. You know, obviously people when they see us out in ambulances and fire trucks on the roads, that's when they say, oh, hey, there's the fire department, there's the EMS department, they're at work today. But there's so much stuff that goes into preparation and training and preparedness and hazard mitigation stuff. So we're trying to educate people on the safety hazards of, you know, wildland season and the springtime season. So those are a lot of the things that we're consistently doing right now. Even with COVID going on and taking up as much of our time to try to manage that, we still have to put our, you know, our fire jobs and EMS jobs somewhere into that day and make sure that everything is still getting done that we were doing before this whole COVID crazy time started.
Right. And is there anything else on your list for this morning?
That was one of the calls we went on, and I appreciate you bringing that to everybody's attention, how concerning that is this time of year. It's a little early for that type of call. But here's a call we went on the other night where we just two nights ago went to a building that had a heater in a crawl space with an extension cord plugged into it. So this time of year, if your heaters are still plugged in and they're not on a thermostat, you really need to think about getting those unplugged because they're working real hard and they shouldn't really be plugged into a long extension cord anyway. That's not a safe thing to do. They should be directly into a wall with a circuit breaker or a wall outlet so that they're on a controlled circuit breaker to help with that. Because we came very, very close to losing a significantly large structure had that not been caught.
Well, thank you so much for the reminders and the information, Chief Kirko. Is there anything else, or we can let you get on with your very busy day?
Nothing right at this moment, but to keep putting my COVID hat back on, just everybody continue to stay safe and keep that social distancing. And I'm going to keep on pounding it out there that this is not a sprint, it's a marathon, and we're all going to do the best we can to get through it together. So just keep the faith and keep strong.
Okay, thanks, Chief Kirko from the Homer Volunteer Fire Department. So, Lauren Carroll, public health nurse extraordinaire, good morning. I have a question for you that has arisen here at the station. So I read a ride line last night and today about a ride needed from Anchorage to Homer. I guess in my mind, what I'm thinking is that it's possibly two people who are getting off a plane who both need to quarantine could share a ride. But is there any safe way to be sharing rides right now? What do you recommend?
Excellent question, Kathleen. Thanks. The safest decisions right now would be to adhere as closely as possible to the mandates. And so what I mean by that is decrease all travel to only essential travel. And if you do have further questions about what those mandates mean for your situation, you got a couple of options. You can call 211 or you can email at covidquestions@alaska.gov.
Okay, and do you have the numbers for us for the Kenai Peninsula today?
Yeah, I do. I'll start with Alaska-wide. In Alaska, as of noon yesterday, 293 total cases. That's up 8 from yesterday. Up to this point, we have a grand total of 34 hospitalizations and 9 deaths. To this point, yesterday at noon, we've had 106 recovered. That's an additional 8 recovered from the previous period. On Homer, we're sitting at 2 still. I'm real happy to announce 1 has recovered out of those 2, and still just 1 in Anchor Point.
Okay. And what else is on your list for today?
Well, I would guess that I would just speak to the new mandates are coming out every day, and the mandate that was released yesterday opens up some elective procedures. So your best route to access those would be, number one, call your provider and discuss access to care. And secondly, if you have questions, look it up online if you have internet access, or email coronavirus.alaska.gov, or give a call to 211.
Okay. And Lauren, can you stay on the line? I'm going to call for, if anyone has any questions, they can call 235-7721, or they can email Lauren, L-O-R-E-N, at kbbi.org with their questions. Either one. Can you stay on the
Kathleen?
Line a little while? Yes.
That's actually L-O-R-N-E.
Oh, no. It's Lauren Bartlett, Lauren Barrett, our development director, is answering the phones and checking questions. So if you have questions for the panel today, it's L-O-R-E-N at kbbi.org.
Oh, thanks, Kathleen.
Got it. And the number to call is 235-7721. I'd like to go to Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital. Good morning, Dorotha.
Good morning, Kathleen. Well, we have lots to report from the hospital, but I don't want to take all the time, I'll just kind of start with some numbers.
Right. That's why we didn't start with you first, Dorotha.
Okay. So start with some testing numbers. So as of this morning, the hospital has submitted 159 swabs to either the state or the Quest Commercial Lab for processing of the 159 one was positive, and that was the one from over 2 weeks ago. 123 were negative, and we have 35 pending.
And what about the alternate testing sites? Are they open?
So it is still not open. We plan to open that as demand calls for it. But as of right now, we are still only averaging about 10 tests a day.
Are those tests that you're performing? How many are there people requesting tests who don't qualify?
I don't know that question. That's a good question. The reason I don't know that is because we're encouraging people to call their provider first. So I wouldn't know what happens between the person and their provider. If you don't have a provider, you can call the hospital triage nurse, 235-0235. And what happens when you call your provider, you share what's going on with you, you share your symptoms, and then based on your health history and your conditions and situation, then your provider says, you should go get tested for COVID-19. Now, things have changed a lot because those symptoms have really expanded. So I'm going to quickly go over those. So if everybody wants to pay attention, these are now the symptoms that are being considered for testing. One, out of cough, shortness of breath, or difficulty breathing, just one of those. Or two from this very long list, fever, chills, diminished sense of smell or taste, diarrhea, fatigue, headache, muscle or joint aches, nausea, runny nose, phlegm production, or sore throat. Boy, don't those all sound familiar to people. So if you're having two of those symptoms I just read, you could call your provider and be referred for testing. Now, I know that sounds a little backwards to what we were saying before. Stay home and manage your symptoms. Yes, that's true from the perspective of going to the hospital for care. But the concept of testing is a really important step in helping the community and the state get a good picture of what's going on with COVID-19.
Well, if
you have those symptoms, you can just call your provider. They'll send you for a test. You drive up to the hospital. You call that phone number on your way, so we have somebody outside at the tent to greet you so you don't have to wait for a long time in your car. You never leave your car. You get the swab through the window, and off you go.
And additional testing, the more numbers of people you test, that gives you a much more accurate picture of the health of the community. And it will also be informing the city's decisions about lifting restrictions or making recommendations. So that I'm going to come back to you, Dorotha, but I want to go to Jenny Carroll from the city. Good morning.
Hey, hi. Hey, Kathleen.
Hey, so what's on your list today?
Well, you made a nice segue. You said it will be informing the city's decisions on how we go forward. And I would say the city follows the state mandates. So we are closely watching the mandates that are going to start rolling out from the governor's office. The governor is looking at easing business restrictions in a safe and measured manner so that industry and Alaskans can get back to work. And we'll be seeing some of these announcements rolling out as we go forward. And the reason that this is happening is that, you know, our economy is an important part of our response to COVID-19. And Alaskans are doing a really great job right now. Homer is doing a fantastic job at flattening the curve through our social distancing, wearing the cloth face masks when you're out, limiting our travel and working from home. So they're looking at that and seeing that the Alaskan curve is kind of flattening out, and the state is tracking and building up their PPE capacity, their ability to continue contact tracing of positive cases so that folks can quarantine and limit their exposures to others so we're not spreading the virus. And also the state is tracking the capacity of the healthcare facilities. And they're looking at that very closely and going to be slowly opening up industry. And the first one that Governor Dunleavy mentioned, which Lauren mentioned earlier in in the program today, is they're going to start allowing non-essential healthcare procedures going forward. They're going to be opening that industry. They're trying to balance the negative outcomes that stem from us delaying our health care, our preventative health care, and at the same time watching really closely so that we're protecting patients and healthcare workers from the spread of COVID-19. So the mandate specifies really specific safety precautions that service providers must follow to be able to open up. And if you want to read the specifics of that mandate, you can go to the coronavirus.alaska.gov website and read all the details. And the other thing that's been on a lot of people's minds, including in our port and harbor here, is what we're going to do as we go into the fishing season, the fisheries. And Governor Dunleavy said in his press conference last night that the state is moving a plan forward to try to address opening fisheries. It is one of the backbones of the state's economy. So the governor and his leadership are working with coastal communities, processors, independent fishing operations are filing plans on how they plan to limit exposure and spread of COVID-19. And so they're working a plan through to try to be able to open fisheries while still keeping people and communities safe. And I would say that the message in this is rather hopeful that we can start slowly and carefully rolling out some of our industries that have been shut down, but that we're all essential. All each one of us is essential to keep the social distancing, quarantine mandates, so that we can really safely and gradually open up industries. If it sees our caseload start to spike, and they will start, maybe not on a statewide level is what the governor said, but in industry-specific or area-specific mandates to close back down again to be able to contain the coronavirus spread. So my message to everyone is there's a little bit of hope out there, but we're still in it for the long run, that our new normal is to social distance, wear our face masks, quarantine as you're asked to do, after travel, while you're getting a test. There's a lot of services in Homer available to help you quarantine. You can go to the City of Homer website and find out all about those. And these are what is that's what makes each one of us essential in this progress towards getting our industries and businesses open and running again. So that's my main message for today.
Well, I appreciate that, because I'm hoping to build a coffee table next week about what it takes to revive the local economy, and to have discussions, because there are lots of strategies for reviving the economy. There are no strategies for reviving someone who has died of COVID-19. So I want to I definitely want to start turning our attention toward how to safely how to safely revive the economy in Homer.
Yes, and I would say I would like to echo something that DeRosa brought up too, is that testing is really critical. So if you have any of those symptoms, that's the way we can follow potential cases, ask people to quarantine while they are getting the results of their test, so that we're not inadvertently spreading the virus. So really, I think one of our messages early on, because of the how little we knew about the virus and how it presented, we were still building up testing supplies, that it was kind of limited. And now when you call your provider or you call the triage nurse at the hospital, there, as DeRosa explained, there's a lot more symptoms that go into deciding whether or not to be tested. And the state would really like to lean on the testing to be able to track how we're doing relative to opening things up slowly and carefully. So I want to really repeat what DeRosa said. Any of those symptoms, please be in touch with your provider, because that's one of the ways we can know how we're doing. well, we will, the testing.
We will continue to run the Nurse Benita Banks PSA on testing and on getting masks. South Peninsula Hospital, I'm going to go back to DeRotha at South Peninsula Hospital, but I do want to slightly switch the topic to the supply chain and to PPEs. We had a story last week about the possibility of using blanket warmers to sterilize masks. Is that happening yet?
Well, it was happening, and now we no longer have to do that because we are so fortunate to have a unique Homer Alaska supply chain, which was donations from Homer Electric, the college, and Spenard Builder
and
Supply.
Right.
And Spenard Builder Supply donated hundreds of extended wear respirators. And when we got those, then we were no longer as obligated to figuring out to reuse the N95s. And that is, and this is specific to COVID-19 response. And so that really was a game changer for us. Having those three local donations was really a game changer for South Peninsula Hospital's response. And it means that we now don't have to rely on the reuse your N95 for four shifts, leaving them in brown paper bags and putting them in the blanket warmer. So what a relief for our staff to have those great donations.
Okay, thanks, DeRotha. I'm going to come back to you. Peggy Erkineff from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District is on the line. Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning.
And how's it going up there, up the road for you?
It's good. I just got off a phone call hearing from Senator Murkowski and Senator Sullivan about talking to educators around the state about some of the different aid and that's coming and their thoughts about education. So that was inspiring. They both were really supportive of everything our teachers are doing and our families are doing and working really hard to get us the resources that we need. So that was a good call to start the day with educational leaders all over the state.
Oh, excellent. Go ahead.
I don't know what your main topics are happening this morning.
What's it for you, though?
I've been a little bit immersed in cloth face masks. And our head nurse, Iris, and I made a funny, not funny, but just a kind of scrappy video yesterday that just went out last night because I had some cloth face masks somebody made for me, and I didn't know how to properly take them on and off, and when do you touch them, when do you not. So we just posted that on our social media and our YouTube channel. It's about 5 minutes, but there's some good tips in there about how to wear your face mask. And that's, I really appreciate all the nurses and especially our nursing supervisor, Iris, has been amazing over the last month and a half with everything, getting information we need. And along those lines, I know that Homer has a supply chain of face masks, and I just heard from Kelly King, who is in charge of our Students in Transition program, which is our students who are experiencing homelessness or families. And so I am going to put in a resource request because some of those students don't have access to face masks, cloth face masks. So I just learned that today, and that's in the Homer area especially.
Oh, yeah. And do you have the number for calling for seeking masks in bulk?
I do in one of my meetings, but that's something I'm going to track down. So,
well, I'm going to share it with everybody right now.
Perfect.
That number is 399-3709, and you can always access that information at the City of Homer's webpage. Click on the COVID-19 button. Also, in town, you can pick up masks at Psychological, 302 East Pioneer Avenue from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. And at Homer Saw and Cycle at 1532 Ocean Drive, they have a station set up outside where you can pick up masks if you need them 24 hours a day.
I think what Homer's done, I heard that in a briefing a couple weeks ago, and the process is phenomenal. It really is. And they're already sterilized. So
right, they go to South Peninsula Hospital for that.
Right, so when somebody picks it up, it's ready to go. They don't need to do anything other than then they have to sterilize it or wash them themselves after they're wearing them. So that's been a little bit of focus the last 36 hours. And then the other piece that's important for people to understand, and I'm sure Homer knows this, but I still get questions. Last week, the school year was announced by mandate that schools will be closed to students through the rest of the school year. But that does not mean that we are not continuing with remote education. So there's been a lot of questions. Is school canceled for the rest of the school year? Is it over? Do I need to keep doing this remote learning thing? Yes, we are continuing to deliver remote learning through the end of the school year. And it just meant that the buildings are closed to students through the end of the school year, not that education's stopping. And we are working with all of our principals that have any graduates in the class of 2020 to be able to plan what those different graduations are going to look like. They'll still be special, but based on the physical distancing, they may not be like what we've had in past years. I also know that probably early next week, the Commissioner of Education did tell us yesterday that there would be guidance coming out from the state regarding graduation statewide. So they're working on what that might look like as they make some adjustments, as everybody's doing a really good job with flattening the curve.
And thank you, Peggy. I have a question submitted online. I think it's for Dorotha and possibly Lorne. Is COVID testing free?
So the answer is a touch complicated. So it's free to the patient, to the person, but the hospital is billing for it. So if the person is insured, then they will come up and they will still fill out a little bit of, you know, their normal registration paperwork. And then we will bill the insurance company, whether it's Medicaid, Medicare, Blue Cross, whatever your insurance is. We will bill them because we can still get paid for the test. The insurance companies are all waiving the copays or the patient part of it. So there wouldn't be a fee to the patient. If a patient's uninsured, then the hospital will have you fill out some different paperwork so that you'll go into a pot of self-pay and be eligible for financial assistance, which will waive hopefully all, if not most of the patient part. So we're trying to make it as definitely free or as absolutely low cost as possible.
Okay, thanks so much for that. I want to get to everybody for final comments because we're coming on the end of this half hour. I know you guys have long, busy days with many meetings. Lorne Carroll from the state of Alaska. Nurse Lorne, what do you have any thoughts to leave us with?
Hey, thanks, Kathleen. I would just say a couple things. There's some kind of hints of breakup out there and the weather's changing, and that to me represents a lot of renewal, but also a lot of unknowns. And second and lastly, I want to say thanks to the fishing industry because those folks are already working with local public health nurses, local emergency operations centers, and community partners across the state. And what they're doing is building plans aimed at decreasing potential spread of COVID and also to connect folks that may potentially get infection. So I just want to say special thanks for protecting our future.
Well, Lorne, that's very interesting to me. I'm going to reach out to you, and perhaps we can talk a little more at length about that.
I'd love to. Thanks, Kathleen.
Okay, thanks, Lorne Carroll. Next, how about the city of Homer, Jenny?
Okay, my last thought is while I was on the radio, I got a text from someone saying, what is this about social distancing? We use the phrase physical distancing, and by all means, yes. What we mean by social distancing is to physically distance, so we're not spreading the virus. Social distance kind of got into the vocabulary and the catchphrase early on, but I want to encourage everyone to really stay socially connected with their family and friends, despite our mandates to physically distance, to work from home. We have a lot of technology. We have telephones to reach out and help support everybody through this challenging time. So please, you know, when I say physical distance, I really mean
or social distancing. I really mean physical distancing, and hope that everybody can help support and feel supported when they need it through these changes that we're living through right now.
Okay, Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer. And one last time, let's direct everybody to the City of Homer's webpage and the COVID-19 button, because there is an enormous amount of information for people all on that page.
Thanks, Kathleen.
Thanks so much. How about Dorotha? Dorotha, any final words?
Well, I just want to reiterate, testing is available, and the symptom list is very long. We have it all on the hospital's webpage, and I will tell you that every morning I update the test numbers there, and it's a helpful way to kind of feel connected to the community and what's going on in regards to COVID-19, and so use that as a resource. And also on the hospital's webpage in the lower right corner, you'll see a presentation from Dr. Zink. And chances are, if you're listening to this show right now, you want to be informed. And Dr. Zink did a great presentation two nights ago on her 5 p.m. report on television to the state. And it just really shows kind of what's going on with the spread around the state and how the state plays into the national numbers. And it was a really good presentation. It's the lower right corner of the homepage for the hospital,
okay.
SPHOSP.org.
Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Peggy Erkineff, anything final from you?
I have three fast things.
Go for it.
We have launched this week free webinars for parents to support remote learning for their children at home. And we had 50 parents sign up this week. They're about 30 minutes. And we've got another slate of classes coming up next week, and those are on our website. And you could go to kpbsd.org, or I'm sharing it on our social media sites. The second thing is a really big thank you to all of our educators. They are going above and beyond to continue reaching out and delivering education. So all of our staff, we're really proud of our staff. And the final thing is, if there's anybody that needs assistance that is a child that's going to school that's experiencing homelessness, we've got an outreach program all throughout the district, but in the Homer area, Jane Dunn is the go-to person for our homeless liaison, and her phone number is 235-4664, and she serves Southern Peninsula and the Nilchik. So if there's anybody, any students who are experiencing homelessness, or families that have students and they want to keep those kids in school and learning, we're there for them.
Okay, thanks so much, Peggy Erkineff. And we'll check in soon.
Thank you.
And that is the COVID brief for this Thursday, April 16th. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. We'll have some information. I'll be reading closures and things that you actually can do right now. Also, but first, a little something from South Peninsula Hospital's Bonita Banks. Take it away, Nurse Banks.
Have you found or created your cloth face covering yet? If not, now is the time. People who are asymptomatic or have not yet developed symptoms of COVID-19 can still spread the virus. So cover your nose and mouth to protect those around you. And when others use cloth face coverings, they are protecting you. Wear a cloth mask if you must leave home and will be indoors where it may be difficult to maintain a physical distance of 6 feet or more. Enjoying outside activities? Great! But when you exert yourself, coughs and sneezes may travel farther, so use a face covering if you'll be within 20 feet of others. Use safe mask hygiene. Don't touch the outside layer and touch only the ties or elastic loops when removing. Then wash your hands right away. Launder the mask in hot soapy water. For local information, go to cityofhomer-alaska.gov. Let's continue to work together to slow the spread of COVID-19. This is Bonita Banks, community education nurse at South Peninsula Hospital.